Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our custom, would you read together with me aloud the sermon title for this morning? Who is the prodigal? The gospel lesson just read, find our theme in verse 20. I told myself I wasn't going to do it, but I caught myself getting a little emotional just reading the gospel reading, let alone preaching this sermon. Why? Well, I've told a few of you, not that I'm planning this service anytime soon, but this single verse that I'm about to read, I have chosen already to be the verse for my funeral. It's that precious to me. And I hope by the end of the sermon, this chapter and this verse will be precious to you. Luke 15, verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. If you turn in your worship folder to your sermon outline, you've all been given it, and we'll consider our theme, Who is the Prodigal One? You can follow along with the sermon outline provided. Prodigal. It's a word we don't use much anymore. Prodigal. It's a word we don't hear much anymore. What does the word mean? Prodigal, defined in the dictionary, is this: given to extravagance, characterized by wasteful spending or wasteful giving. Now, tradition has assigned the term in Jesus' Luke 15 parable to the prodigal son, to the boy who ran away, who wasted his father's inheritance. But I believe the term can just as easily, if not even more so, be applied to the father, who, according to the definition of prodigal, was indeed, quote, given to extravagance, characterized in what some may consider as wasteful giving. The father's love for his son knew no limits. His forgiveness was immeasurable. His joy at his boy's return was overflowing. His generosity knew no bounds. Let's talk about the father's approachable love. It's on your outline. In Luke 15, 11 to 12, Jesus says, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the share of the inheritance that's coming to me. Now, the Jewish tradition of inheritance was quite clear. The eldest son always got the first choice and the biggest portion. And only after the father's death could the inheritance be given. But here, note the boldness of the younger son. He broke tradition and didn't even wait for the funeral, as if he said, old man, I can't wait till you die. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Note the father's approachable love. He overlooked the tradition. He wasn't put off by the request. His son was more important to him than traditions. He loved his demanding son more than he loved his money. But soon the son left home. Why would this boy want to leave such a father? Well, he mirrors a common reality today. He wanted the gifts without the giver. He wanted the blessings without the blesser. Gimme, 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 we and so many people say to God, we want what you can give us, but we're just not that interested in obedience to you. But now in the parable, see the father's releasing love. Verse 12 says, and the father divided up the property between them. Both sons got their inheritance, and they didn't have to wait for his funeral. But then, likely with tears in his eyes, the father lets the younger son go, leave home. It's been said that Love only possesses what it releases. Did the son know he broke his father's heart? Now be careful how you answer that question. Do we know when we break our Heavenly Father's heart? We do this in 1,000 different ways. We leave our Father in 1,000 different ways. Note verse 13 of the text. The younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his inheritance in reckless living. The far country is the realm of rebellion. Now, the far country may be, as it was for the younger son, an actual location far from the father's house. But friends, we can travel to this far country without going too far. Saint Augustine, the great father of the church, said this: a darkened heart is really the far country. For it is not by our feet, but by our affections that we either leave or return to God. That is to say, our far country away from our Heavenly Father can begin in our hearts as we turn from God. Let me ask you a very personal question this morning. Where is your far country? What is your far country? How do we drift away from our loving Heavenly Father? Our far country can easily begin in our hearts when our plans, our use of time, our use of money, our priorities squeeze God out of our lives. As we move further into this far country, prayer can be difficult, if not impossible. We have a hard time looking God in the eyes, like when we have a broken relationship with another person and can't look them in the eye, or we don't want to return their phone calls or their emails. Well, who is the younger son in this parable? Too often, for too many people, he's the criminal. He's the alcohol or drug abuser. He's the person, oh, we know some of them, that have really fallen away from the church. It's so easy to point the finger to such people who have, according to the text, wasted their inheritance in reckless living. But we need to ask, to whom was this parable of Jesus originally addressed? Who was Jesus talking to? Listen to how Luke 15 begins. Now the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This Jesus receives sinners and even eats with them." So Luke says, so Jesus told them this parable. Jesus was talking to self-righteous religious leaders. He was talking to church people. And he's talking to us church people today. Like the Pharisees, our far country can be a place in our heart, and our external religiosity is no cover-up. God can see right through it. Jesus sees through our masks. And note verse 14 about the younger son. It says, when he had spent everything, a severe famine came in that country and he began to be in need. But today's question seems not to be, what do we do when the money runs out? The question in our world today more seems to be, what can we squeeze into our lives until the undertaker comes to cart us away? Just one example of this is seen these days when I try to visit with or contact our younger families. It's not easy to do. So often because of the disease of busyness. Today's busyness is almost worn as a badge of honor. How you doing? Well, I'm so busy. Our family schedule is so full. But for people of all ages today, busyness can simply be an escape or an excuse from considering what's really important and eternal before the undertaker arrives. This modern far country can rob us and our loved ones of anything that's really important and lasting. Well, back to the runaway son in Jesus' parable. Desperate and hungry, who soon went from slopping the pigs to repentance and a hope to go home. Listen to verses 15 and 16. They tell us he hired himself out. That is, he hired himself as a slave to somebody in that far country. And it says, quote, he longed to be fed with what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. This boy really hit rock bottom. Pigs were absolutely ceremonially unclean for Jewish people. To eat their pig slop meant he was in a state of utter desperation. But verse 17 tells us, but he came to himself. He saw his life, his rebellion, his far country as it really was, and he decided to make his way home to beg his father's forgiveness and listen to his rehearsal speech. I will say, verse 19, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired servants. Here's the turning point of the whole story. Now we'll see, really, who is the prodigal one. We'll see it's the father who is given to extravagance, characterized in wasteful giving. Now let's see the father's running love. Woohoo! For verse 20. Listen to verse 20. This is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him. Embraced him is a real weak translation. The original language says the father threw his arms around his neck. My papa used to kiss me like that. The famous Greek philosopher Aristotle, let's get that right, once said, great men never run in public. Guess that says a lot about me since I run 6 days a week. Great men never run in public, said Aristotle. This is just below the dignity of a rich and famous and well-respected man. Never run in public. What would people think of you? But the father in this parable was a man of great substance. He had so much to give that he gave his boys the inheritance and still had a lot left over. What did he do? He ran! He ran! Can you see the well-bred, fat little Jewish papa raising up his robes and just running down that pathway? Why did he run? He didn't care what his neighbors might say. He ran to his runaway son who had broken his heart. Now, he had to be looking for him every day. He had to be scanning the horizon from the window of his home and maybe the edge of his big property. Why? Because the text says he saw his son when he was still a long ways off. And he ran to him. He just couldn't wait for the boy to get to the front door. Now the son was still probably practicing his repentance speech. He probably was still smelling like pig slop and pig manure. And if you have smelled either one, you'll never forget the smell. But his father ran to him. Here's the good news for you and me today. God makes the first move to us. He doesn't wait till we get all the way home. He doesn't wait till we wash off the pig manure. The parable shows us the prodigal, extravagant, generous love of God for all sinners, for you and for me. This parable shows us the very heart of God. St. Paul in Romans 5 puts it this way. Try this one on for size. For when we were still without strength, Christ died for us. For God demonstrates his love toward us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's not all. For you, runaway son. For you, runaway daughter. For any of your runaway family members or friends who aren't right with God as they should be, listen to the parable. The inheritance of the Father never runs out. Verses 22 and 24 says, the Father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring out the fattened calf. Let's eat and celebrate. For this my son was lost and is now found. What robe? Well, was it the Father's own robe? Was it a robe for honored guests? Was it a former robe of the son who ran away? The text doesn't tell us for sure, but the point was clear. And if you miss this point, you've missed the whole sermon today. Repentant sons and daughters are always welcome in the Father's house. Today, you are welcome home to the arms of your Father in heaven. Could you do me a favor? Could you pass that message on to others? You know who they are in your life. The Father has a special robe waiting just for them. And it's in just their size. The son who came home after the robe was next given a ring, not just any ring. This was the signet ring. The ring that declared whoever wore this ring had the right to the full inheritance of the Father. All the riches of the Father still belonged to this son. And the ring was placed on his dirty, calloused, stinking hand, likely with pig manure still under the fingernail. Today, my friends, look here, will you? Look at the altar. The very riches of the Heavenly Father are here for you today. The Holy Word of God, the holy sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, the sure gift of the forgiveness of sins these means of grace give to us. Just look at that altar this morning, won't you? Look there. The very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. What riches! Today, if you're receiving communion, as the very body and blood of Christ are put into your hands, just imagine the Father in the parable putting his signet ring on your finger. All the riches of his inheritance are here for you. Next, the Father had shoes put on the feet of his son. In those days, bare feet was a mark that you were a slave. But no longer in this far country, this former pig-slopping slave was declared to be a beloved son, and sandals were put on his feet. He was a son and no longer a slave. He was forgiven for his sinful rebellion. And then the fattened calf was prepared. A homecoming party and a celebration. My friends, every Sunday in this place, God the Father throws a party for you. Again, look at the altar this morning. The banquet is ready. You are God the Father's honored guest, dressed in your robe. Wearing your ring, wearing the shoes provided for you, let nothing get in the way of the homecoming celebration. Now, I admit there's an old story I've told in various settings, but I love it so much I'll have to tell it again today to conclude our sermon. A woman choir member came to church every Sunday with her husband, her children, and her father. And she would take her place in the choir loft, only she had seated her family in the pew near the front. And her dear father really liked to express himself during the sermon. When something was said that he liked to say things like, "Hallelujah," or "Amen," or "That's right." This was actually pretty embarrassing for his daughter. So she tried to bribe her father and said, "Pop, you know your birthday's coming soon. And I know you want a brand new pair of hunting boots. If you can just quit yelling out loud during pastor's sermon, the boots are yours." The next Sunday, things went well. Father was quiet. But two Sundays later, the pastor, as some of pastors do, preached with great passion about the love of God for sinners. As the sermon went on and on, the papa got more and more excited. As the sermon ended, finally the old man couldn't hold himself back and he yelled out loud, "Boots or no boots, hallelujah!" Hallelujah indeed. For anyone here today, in a far country, your Heavenly Father, your prodigal father, is running down that path to you. Welcome home. All is prepared. Come to the celebration. In the name of Jesus. Amen.